Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friends Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Larima, today joined by Makone Maja. Let's get into the first news story of today, and President Cyril Ramaphosa has announced some details about the long-awaited national dialogue. He's going to be holding a national convention on Friday, the 15th of August, 2025, and the convention is going to be a platform where the national dialogue will take place. The members there will be various members from various groups, but they've put together a list called the Eminent People's Group, who will be part of the dialogue. And Makone, let me just go to you straight away. What do you make of this list of eminent people?
Yeah, it seems like we've bunched up a lottery of people. You know, it's hard to say what standard was used in identifying them. It appears very random. I don't have much confidence in the idea of a national dialogue. I mean, we all know the problems that we're facing as a country. To harp on some more about them seems like a great deal of a waste of time and resources. I think even solutions, there have been proposals for solutions from the business sector, from the civil society organizations who've beckoned on the state to get involved in assisting, whether it's with things like violence for women and children or the high levels of crimes, yet the government just shuts the door in their faces. I think if there was ever a serious intention from the government to have a dialogue, we would see it in actual substantive processes through which one can influence policy outcomes, such as the parliamentary submission system, being taken seriously rather than it currently is. As at present, it's a perfunctory exercise. It's just one of those things the government undertakes because the law compels them and they can say they've done it. But to actually influence state policy through parliamentary submissions, it's a joke, even trying to attempt it. The government does not take that framework or that platform seriously. And so I imagine that the national dialogue will be reduced to just yet another shiny object and a lower hanging fruit exercise that they've undertaken and can say they've completed. But what does it produce? At the end of the day, they've rejected so many of the offers from the private sector and from non-state actors to try and assist, voluntary help offered to the state to try and assist with things like leveling crime. Government is simply not interested. And certainly this list gives a clue into how seriously the government is taking this, because you'd expect to see institutions like, fine, I'm not going to show my bias here and put the throw the IR's name in the hat, but OTA, you know, the Organization Against Tax Abuse, they've done extensive research that the government can rely on, and they have developed some ways of rooting out crime and have made it readily available to various municipalities, including those in Gauteng. The Gauteng government's not interested. So I this list gives me insight, at least, into how seriously the government is considering this national dialogue. And that's not at all.
Yeah, you look at this list and it's, you know, I mean, maybe I'm being unfair to one or two people on this list, but generally speaking, I think if you're going to end up with a mushy kind of contentless, you know, we like good things and don't like bad things kind of statement or input, you're probably going to get something like this. There's no one here who's sort of slightly edgy. There's no kind of, I wouldn't say that there's radically different perspectives offered here. These are all sort of, or at least most of the people here are kind of people who I think the ANC would put sort of in their ideological universe, even if they're not necessarily aligned with the party. They're all sort of, you know, either people who are the leaders of significant organizations, like there's various church leaders here. I guess probably the most edgy person here is Lindiwe Mazibuko, former member of parliament, but she's not politically affiliated. It would be more exciting if they had picked, I don't know, Tony Leon. This does not inspire me with a lot of confidence. All no, right.
Neither does And unfortunately, there's no way of actually finding out what those people's views are. Perhaps they're not even important. Perhaps that's the government's goal here, is to put together a list, a group of nonpartisan people, and see if, you know, different ideas emerge when you're not pooling from the same talent that the government sources from, you know, which would be politically active people. But alas, we shall wait and see.
Yes. I mean, I hope they prove me wrong, but I doubt it. Okay, let's move on to the new draft bill on mineral resources, which has been put up for some public comment by Minister of Mining, Gwede Mantashe. And when this thing first came out, it received absolute horror from the mining industry. Anyone who, I think, who really cares about investment in this country in general was pretty horrified by this thing. It was sort of all the worst ideas that the ANC has had in mining for the past decade, sort of packaged into one piece of legislation, expanding the minister's powers to intervene on the change of control on boards, more BEE requirements, including for even just prospecting. So in other words, you need to be BEE compliant just to look for if there are minerals worth digging out of the ground. A lot of just kind of bad stuff, where the minister would have power and discretion to do things without sort of clear criteria, which is a huge open door for corruption. And just generally increasingly expensive regulatory changes, which would make the investment case for mining even worse. And this, of course, is against a backdrop of South Africa's mining investment going down over the past couple of years. Back in 2006, sort of as we were hitting the stride of the commodities boom in South Africa's economy, was really picking up to its highest growth levels. Exploration on mineral on looking for minerals was around 6 billion rands worth was being invested. It's only been around 1 billion rand in recent years. It's not like we don't have a lot of minerals lying in the ground. It's just simply that companies are not willing to put in the money. Well, with that in mind, there has been some positive development. Following the outcry from various organizations, particularly in the mining industry, but also including groups like us at the IRR, Mantashe is pulling a bit of a retreat. The BE requirements for prospecting seem to be dropped from the latest version of the bill. And there are also some changes to ministerial approval for change of control of boards. Listed companies will no longer have to go through the minister, but it still seems to be that unlisted companies will have to go through the minister to get approval for change of control of their boards, which is still not great. Makhona, what do you make of this? I mean, I think this shows the reason why a society needs to push back against legislation. It does actually achieve results when there's, you know, if you all sit quietly and whisper behind the scenes to the minister in big business, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you go out front screaming your head off and waving your flaming sticks in the air and you know, losing your mind, you're going to probably force at least a bit of a retreat. What do you make of this?
Fair enough, Nick. I've also been particularly impressed by all these law firms like Schlifter, Hofmeyer, and Weber Wenzel, who've come out to basically think that BEE hurts investment. Right? They point to the issue of exploration and how BEE requirements being attached to exploration is the riskiest part of the entire mining enterprise. Is a discouragement for investment. So it's wonderful to see that we've now taken that step in South Africa, where even the Big Five or members of the Big Five law firms are happy to verbalize their criticism of BEE. And with the waving of all these red flags and running around like a crazy person, we appear less crazy when you've got such big actors coming out and being very explicit with their criticism of BEE. One of my concerns, though, is that these provisions have been removed for enterprises that are listed, like the requirement that whenever the mining companies change their boards, the minister be consulted. That has been taken away for listed companies, and unlisted companies still carry that burden. And you would think that with all the resources, all the dedication, there's an entire ministry that's been created to support small business enterprises. You would think that the government would consider them first ahead of big business. And yet it shows that, you know, the people who really pull the negotiation levers and leverage are guys like BLSA and Busa and who they represent, which are obviously the big prospecting companies, the big mining companies. So it bothers me greatly that exceptions are being created for big business and small and medium-sized enterprises are being hung out to dry simply because they don't have the lobbying powers, the lobbying interests that representative of big businesses possess. So I'm hoping to see that also be changed when we shouldn't stop now running around and waving the torches and the red flags about this until, you know, small and medium-sized enterprises are also given an equal footing to compete against big businesses, because as it's the case now, they carry the regulatory burden, the bureaucratic burden that this legislation seeks to place on the mining sector.
And I think part of the reason that this thing has also been changed is because of the fact that the DA has voiced its opposition towards this. And this thing ain't getting through Parliament. Those days of the ANC just being able to ram stuff like this through are over. They're either going to have to get help from their GNU partners, or they're going to have to get help from the EFF, MK, Actionist, say those parties. And right now, I think that's not likely. Particularly if you water down some of the most crazy provisions, that's probably going to make the EFF and MK less likely to vote for it. But anyway, okay, let's move on to our last story. And this was a story, I think, in the Daily Maverick, where they point out that the GNU has turned 1 year old officially, and yet the long-promised ministerial scorecards have not been put out into the public by the president. This is basically was supposed to be implemented so that ministers could be sort of held accountable to specific public targets, so that both government and people would be able, the public would be able to have a better idea of exactly how ministers were performing. The DA said that they were unhappy about this. A spokesperson from the DA said, "We believe that from the DA side, it's very important to get targets set. You must have measurables to be measured on. And that should the president not make these public scorecards public, the ministers from the DA will make their targets public as well as their achievements on those," which seems like a good perspective. Some of the other parties, I think Good and the IFP also endorsed making their targets public. But McCorner, I think, you know, this is such a simple sort of thing to do, a simple symbolic thing to do, to just show that you're committed to open governance and actual performance. And the fact that the president can't even take this minor step, I think, is a huge indictment on him.
Do you know, everything the DA, the GNU has had to get through the line has been with great difficulty, Nick. I mean, it took them nearly a quarter to get a budget tabled, right? So this comes as no surprise to me. I've offered the GNU the benefit of the doubt for the last year. I've said, you know, it's too soon to criticize them because I wanted, you know, all these newly appointed ministers and members of government to acclimate, get very familiar with their roles before we start critiquing them. There is no better time to operationalize these scorecards than now, a year into their government. You know, and the president assures us that everyone's fulfilling their roles and everyone is fulfilling their obligations. Well, there is no better way to assess that than through these scorecards. So the DA is right to call out the GNU on this issue. You know, the budget is one thing. Obviously, it's very complex and they were pulling at different ends because of all the difficulty of trying to consolidate our fiscal position. So for that, I understand why it took so long. It took long for the Government of National Unity to form, right? But because of all the timelines, they had to quicken it and move speedily. But it shouldn't for this. You're right. This is a simple action by the government. So we need to see more political will on things like this. These are the easy wins that they can collect right? And yet they're very slow to move on this. I also want to say that it's not enough to have ministerial scorecards. There need to be actual machinations of accountability. What happens when somebody scores low on the scorecard? How will they be further held accountable? It's simply not enough. It's just like the role of the Auditor General, right? We get all these reports annually of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Oh, how bad. Oh, how much money is being chowed by members of government. What then? Are there going to be any prosecutions followed? So if this is another one of those forms, another one of those reports, another 600-volume state capture report that just sits collecting dust in some vault somewhere with evidence
another
possibly,
national dialogue, one might say?
Another national dialogue. If it's just another one of those exercises that do not produce real results, soon enough, people's confidence in the GNU, which has been tested to the max, is going to disappear. So it's in their best interests to, you know, action these small successes. But again, that there are actual substantive ways of holding them accountable after the scorecards are revealed.
I think fundamentally, this kind of reveals the fact that the GNU is not. It's a very temporary practical alliance between a bunch of different parties who are trying to sort of basically keep the EFF and MK out of government for the ANC to hold on to, you know, its power without actually tanking the economy. But in terms of a sort of actual unified government with any sort of clear plan, not really at all. And I think that's kind of what we should expect, at least until definitely after the local government elections and probably after the ANC's internal conference, where this dysfunction will continue. Maybe after that there will be some change in the ANC, but I'm skeptical. Anyway, obviously we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. We hope that you found today's episode interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily French Show. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.